I feel bad coming on before the hook here. That's the whole point of the thing, right? If I was going to, I mean, who am I to advise Phil? But I think he took a little too long to get to the hook of this song. We went through like four, I think we go through like five or six verses before we finally do get home. Well, who am I to judge? Who am I to advise?
Are you thinking about In the Air Tonight?
No, there's still, we don't
this,
even.
You're thinking about this song, because In the Air Tonight does too before it gets to the do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
That's not this, though.
You understand that? Oh, yeah. We're
this has a.
It's a long before wind it comes up.
In. No, I feel right. Like we haven't appreciated Phil Collins. I've been having a renaissance on my Amazon account with old Phil Collins.
Been playing a lot of it lately, I've noticed.
Sorry, I probably should mix it up a little bit, but he's been my recurrent, as we call
it. I love Phil Collins. One of the best to ever do it.
They're doing, like you said, I've noticed it on the broadcast on NBC. I'm like, I've heard three or four cuts from him.
All right.
Anyway, there's your music.
Here we go, finally.
Here we go. Yeah, we got there. Hey.
Well, it's like a driving song.
Yeah. I don't remember.
It is kind of a drum.
Really, like,
take
pump you up. Just calms you down.
Yeah. There you go, John.
This is just this is like that hook. I literally feel it in my soul.
No, it's a vibe.
It doesn't do that for me, but I'm happy it does it for you.
I don't want anybody to forget. I am a white man. I mean, you know, a little Phil Collins going to get to me now. A little Genesis.
Where are you going? Take you back to the Cove in Germantown?
Where is home? It's a great question.
Amboy.
What is home?
The original.
I don't know. I mean, I think home is like, you know.
Take me to the Cove.
Take me to the Cove.
No, I think home. I guess home is the Cove. I guess. I mean, that's.
Don't fight it, bro. It's you. It's what you come from. It's your culture. It's you.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, I embrace it. I totally embrace it.
I thought so.
I do. I love the fact that, like, last night when you hear this, it's literally Ja'Marr Chase, like, throwing his neck back, like, wishing he was anywhere else but that football field last night.
He's like, so weird.
I really got to go back out here and not catch a pass from Jake Browning, man. getting the best cardio that money can buy.
His body language was awful.
No, you know, wide receivers really don't ever hide it.
No.
I mean, they just don't really care. Like George Pickens. I think about George Pickens. His body language is piss. You know, when these guys aren't getting the ball or they're
He got
losing,
it this week.
And I get it because, like, you have to run that route regardless, you know?
Bro, catch the ball. There were balls that were right there to him. He's dropping balls. It's Ja'Marr Chase.
Facts.
Like, I don't care about the ones that are missing when you're dropping ones that are hitting you right in the hands.
Right.
And back to the point. He knows he's being looked at to stand there on the sidelines smiling during a blowout loss like that. When you are one of the stars of the team, particularly the guy now, you're the face with Burrow down, and that's your attitude, that it's just ultimately will fall on Zach Taylor.
Yes.
Yep. And not Ja'Marr. He's locked in. He doesn't care. But that's bad business. And John's right. These receivers will be divas, you know, when it ain't all they're going their way. My problem with him last night was you're dropping balls that are hitting you in the hands.
Yep.
You're supposed to be one of the two, three best in the league.
Yep.
Come on, Ja'Marr.
Absolutely. All right, everybody around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go. All right, we got Major League Baseball playoffs kicking off in about 1 minute. It'll be Detroit Tigers at the Cleveland Guardians. I mean, what a story for these Guardians, right? I mean, there's a few crazy stories that we're going to mention. But one of them, of course, is the Cleveland Guardians, who were, what, at one point 15 and a half games back?
Something absurd like that.
Of Detroit. And they wind up running them down. I mean, I don't remember what, you know, the odds would have been, but yeah, they steal the AL Central. Look at me talking baseball.
Look at us.
America's pastime.
Yeah, you're doing good.
They were 15 and a half games back of Detroit on July the 8th, and they finished with an AL best 45-26 record since that point in the season. You win 5 of 6 against Detroit in September. That'll go a long way.
There you go.
And now you're playing them in the playoffs. They're going to beat him in the playoffs. I know that Detroit's going to throw their ace out there, screwball. That's fine. I think it's a psychological thing at this point. Detroit's favored. I understand because, again, they have their ace out there. But that Guardian team's got some playoff experience. I think more importantly than that, it's just the vibes right now with them are unbelievable. Be the last team I'd want to see if I was Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
They get home field advantage, obviously. Yeah, I think the Tigers are in tough shape, man. And they're about to kick off or whatever they call it in baseball.
They just had the first pitch. Yeah,
the first pitch.
That's what you call it.
The first pitch has gone off. Anyway, I only wanted to sort of bring this up because I wanted to find a way to talk about this legendary Francesco Rant. Now, the Mets are obviously in a whole different side of Major League Baseball, but they are somehow not in the playoffs.
Yeah, blew it. Had a chance to be, what, the last wild card, and they allowed the Reds to overtake them with a tremendous collapse.
Yes.
Keep in mind, this is one of the highest payrolls in baseball.
Yes, and, you know, Steve Cohen wrote an apology on X. He said, I owe you an apology for what happened, basically. You did your part by showing up and supporting the team. We didn't do our part. We will do a post-mortem and figure out the obvious and less obvious reasons why the team didn't perform up to your and my expectations. We are all feeling raw emotions today. I know how much you have put into this team. The result was unacceptable. So, you know, that's one perspective. That was the owner's perspective.
Second most expensive payroll in baseball, $342 million. I'm assuming it's behind the Dodgers.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was a measured response from the owner. Why don't we go to Mike Francesa, who when I think about Mike Francesa, I think measured, I think composed, I think always, no matter what, is even keeled. It doesn't get too high with the highs or too low with the lows. Let's check in on Mike Francesa.
This is such a colossal failure. This is one of the great, colossal, gutless collapses that we have seen from a team with talent in a very long time. There are bad teams. That's not them. They aren't a bad team. They're a gutless bunch of underachievers. That's what they are. Gutless to the core as a group. They should be ashamed of themselves. I never thought they would be this gutless. I never thought that they would not figure it out to this extent. I never thought their pitching would dissolve as badly as it did, but not just their pitching. They were a top-heavy lineup all year. They became a bad defensive team. They became a bad situational team, and they became a bunch of gutless bums. That's what they were down the stretch. There's no other way to categorize it.
The voice of every Mets fan.
My God.
My pastor's a Mets fan.
What do you think of Mike?
Yeah, and he just listened to that. You guys had to subject him. He probably feels exactly the way Francesa says. Words taken out of my mouth.
Well, that's, you know,
from a pastor and a Mets fan.
Wow.
I mean, I tell you what, a 3-hour show would be a lot easier if we talked like Mike Francesa. You know what I'm saying?
Like, just eviscerate the team?
No. Not about the content, but in the delivery. The pregnant pauses, the 8-month gestational pauses. I mean, I don't think you guys would be comfortable with that. I think if we started talking like that on this radio station, we'd say, the Grizzlies.
No, this market is never
so colossally bad.
It's never even tempoed like that. We
got uncomfortable.
It got Brad uncomfortable.
No,
he had to interject because the space right there bothers him.
The reason why this station's been around for 15 years. It's never tempoed like that ever. We've never had a host do that.
Yeah.
Never. Not one.
Well,
we've had lots of hosts.
I think
none have done that.
We're just kind of copycats, right? We kind of see how it's done, and we just kind of do what everybody else is doing. But I think
if
Mike Francesa came on here, would you tell him, hey, speed it up?
No. Because he would be solo, by himself, one mic, roll
I think that probably has a lot to do with it, right? It's like when you're by yourself, you just run out of words, so you have to kind of space it out. You
don't
know?
About
you're
that.
Like a, yeah.
It's a one mic show.
Right. And I don't even think he has a producer that talks, right?
No producer.
I think he's literally just been alone.
That seems so hard.
His entire,
I guess once you become that, it's not hard.
But yeah, like
no. Talk to yourself.
I mean, like he will literally give you like 10 seconds between words. Like it's kind of amazing how he feels literally no guilt about that. You know, we feel like we have to fill dead air if it's up for 2 seconds. It's like we're dropping the plates like Red Panda, but he's like he's comfortable. He's like in his element. You know what I mean? So it's just an interesting way of doing things. But yeah, great rant. You know, we should probably try to get Mike Francesa on the show here again someday. It's been too long. It's just always, you know.
I'll interrupt his answer inevitably because I think he's done with another question.
That's right. That's who else?
Because of the space.
Who else does that? I feel like there's somebody else that does that we've had on a lot. And you don't know. Oh, it's, you know who it is? It's Joe Theismann.
It came to me at the same time. We're certainly brothers.
It is Joe Theismann, man.
I've learned to wait on Joe.
You never know when he's
done.
Need
to take the
extra
few seconds to see if he's done, the extra couple of half seconds.
No, he can't speed Joe up. That's what makes him a great quarterback.
Don't do that.
You know, like he's going to process the field. You know, he's going to be comfortable
that's
in that
right.
pocket. You know, and you don't quite know.
Progressions.
That's right. He's going to get Joe is going to go through every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's just the way it goes. So anyway, yeah, Francesa, legendary rant. MLB playoffs have started. then you are up at 2. So as soon
as
the
show.
Yeah, just
tell me if I'm going to win or not.
Yeah, I have no clue.
Buster says no, Padres too, bullpen too good. You know, this time of year where your starters matter less these days, Dodgers have kind of shown us the way. If you got a bullpen,
yeah,
heck, sometimes you're throwing your starters, you know, 5 innings, you're happy, and the bullpens finish it out, maybe even less than that. You're going bullpen combination sometimes starting games. So
right.
Sounds like, I don't know, Buster's the professor.
Detroit takes a 1-0 lead, top of the first.
Already,
man.
Look at you. Appreciate your Major League Baseball updates.
Well,
here
it is the postseason. So.
Best of?
3.
Good job.
Yeah. It's like the WNBA.
I thought I might throw him off with that one, Brad. This guy's on top of it all.
Wild card series.
And then it goes to 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes to 7.
No, actually, I think they go to 7 once they get to the...
Okay.
Once they get out of the wild card, I think they're doing 7 now.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that because I don't watch as
don't
much baseball.
Quote Brad, he's out. Cardinals haven't won one since 2011.
When I'm in this market, people look at me as the baseball guy. It's just, you just don't follow it. I mean, I know you guys are similar outside of the Cubs, right?
Well, it's kind of like the changes with the kickoff stuff. They've changed the rules in the playoffs so recently that you're still trying to, you know, in some cases, learn them. Us with the NBA, with the in-season format, all that stuff. I mean, some of us have been slow to get with the times.
Yeah, the ALDS and LDS are 5. And then
there you have it.
ALCS
wrong.
And LCS is 7. And then, obviously, the World Series is 7.
We got to go back to baseball school.
Yeah.
Because
they
keep changing this.
They do. Every year, and they change the wild cards where there's all these wild cards.
You didn't used to have all these, exactly, all these teams. Yeah. That's what made the the regular season such a race.
Yes.
Because you had less making it after 162
and
to
now,
the playoffs.
The new thing, you guys probably saw this, they want to switch up the divisions where it's these regionals, like where you have Cincinnati.
I hadn't seen that.
That was discussed. Now, and you know how these teams do it. They sort of float it out there like it's not going to happen, and then it happens, you know? So I expect them to change their divisional structure, too.
Well, I'll say this. I wish the NBA would adopt that.
I do, too.
I wish the NBA would adopt first round is 5. Right, I'm not saying
go where we used to be.
No, don't go as little as 3, but man, these 1-8, 2-7s, we don't need 7 games. You shouldn't have to win 4 games as the 1 or the 2 seed to advance in that series. Like plus it would be better. It would make the product more exciting because if you're the 8 seed, you don't have to win 4 times. You only have to win 3 times, right? As it were, instead of, you know. So I would rather do that. Then do the best.
Isn't that an advantage for an 8 seed, though, in a way that they shouldn't, you know, they don't get when they have to win 4? An 8 seed shouldn't just be able to win 3 games and be done, right? It's a little bit of
well,
an easier
still,
task.
Well, you'd still start the first 2
play.
There, at, you know, on the road.
Yeah.
And then the game 5 would be, you know, at the top seeds.
No, I'm just looking at it. I mean, you're right about more excitement.
I mean, because it's like you get to, they start to feel like a slog by the end of them. You're like, oh man, you know, maybe the stupid 8 seed takes game 3 or something, and then you got to go back for game 5.
Well, and the problem becomes, too, that these teams that are sweeping, one that might go a little deeper and take 7, there's this advantage. Now, again, that's part of the competition.
It is.
But
it
a
is.
Huge advantage. That team's been off for a week and a half.
Exactly.
Because the other series has gone 7 games.
Yes.
So that's something that's, you know, you don't need to wait on necessarily. I would be fine with going back. Silver's never about
taking games away.
Only about adding them.
No, so, I mean, if we were going to go there, I mean, we would start with like let's just strip it all the way back, right? Let's go to 65 regular season games. You know, let's go to 5 in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, it would be a better product, but it would be less money. So that's why it would never happen. These people don't care about the product; they just care about the money. Product be damned. If it means, you know, I mean, here's the other like windfall, right? Less mileage for these players.
Yeah.
So you don't lose Jason Tatum for an entire year because of an Achilles. I'm not sure that a shorter season would have helped, but it couldn't have hurt.
Right.
Right. I mean, how about availability? How about the fact that you have a problem with availability throughout your league where a family of 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever wants to identify a game that they want to come in town for? Maybe they live in Jonesboro. They want to come in town for a game. This weekend works.
To your point, that's just why teams, and started with San Antonio, started to combat it with load management.
Yes.
That long season.
Yeah.
Right? Because they realize, how are we going to preserve our guys? Let's load manage, which became a problem for the league. But it's because, again, your folks are begging you to cut it down. I don't know whether it's 65, 72, whatever it is, you could cut a few down.
Exactly.
There's no question about it.
Yeah, but to your point, silver's all about the dollar, and so
all about that base.
It just will not happen, but it should happen. You know, I mean, WNBA has fewer games, Major League Baseball has fewer games. I think hockey does the seven. They do the seven there in their sport. But yeah, it's something I wish would happen, but I know will never change. Anyway, Tigers up 1-0 on those Guardians.
Everybody, stop worrying. Kawhi Leonard says there's nothing to see here. I believe we have audio, do we not, from the Clippers media day, where we knew Kawhi Leonard, whose organization, whose franchise, the Clippers, have been accused of circumventing the salary cap to pay him using an outside company. He spoke at length and was questioned at length about it. Here's what he said.
The endorsement deal that you had with the company that's been talked Aspiration, and did you perform any services for them?
When you say understand, what do you mean?
Like the contract you signed, how much money you were to receive, what you were supposed to perform for those services.
I understand the full contract and the services that I had to do. Like I said, I don't deal with the conspiracies or the clickbait analysts or journalism that's going on. So that's what it is.
Well, I think the allegation was that you didn't perform any services for them. Is that accurate or did you?
I don't think it's accurate, but it's old. This is all new to you guys. The company went bankrupt a while ago, so we already knew this was going to happen. So
you were named as like the largest creditor in the bankruptcy filing, right? Did you actually get the money that was owed to you in the contract, or?
No. But the company went belly up. It was Friday, as everybody knows. If you want any more questions or more details about that company, you need to ask the owner or whoever else is involved in the fraud that went on.
Right. I think they said they owed you $7 million or something, right?
I'm not sure. I gotta look back at the books, but no, it's more than that for sure.
Do you have any idea of how much you actually made on that?
No, it was like 2, 3, 4 years ago.
Yeah, so there you go.
Ramona Shelburne in the house.
Good on her that she didn't back down. She was trying to get all those questions answered because he was not being clear. Listen, here's the key. You know whether or not you perform services for that company.
Mm-hmm.
And for that man to say, I don't think it's accurate, for that to be the answer, bro, you answered the question.
Oh, no
right
question.
There. Because if you didn't, right? I mean, well, excuse me, if you did, that's the way we should put this.
There would be evidence that you
There'd
did.
There'd be evidence. And John, he goes right into, well, I can talk about it. I think they owed me more than what I got. Oh, you know about those books, though, huh? But you don't know whether or not it's accurate that you didn't perform services or that you did. You can't tell us that you did. Knowing that this was going to come up on media day,
mm-hmm.
having had weeks to prepare? You kidding me?
Yep.
So I don't. What it reeked of was, I don't know if you guys saw the end, and I'm not sure if this was still Ramona's line of questioning, but the quote was, the NBA is going to do their job. None of us did no wrongdoing. That's it. We invite the investigations. It's not going to be a distraction for me or the rest of the team. This man sounds like a man who's been convinced by Ballmer, don't worry. We got nothing to worry about. Silver ain't going to hit us here.
No question.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
And so it was just a confirmation kind of. He had a chance to knock that out of the park in terms of, yes, I performed services for them. This was an upright deal. You've had time to gather some information, even make up a story if you want to. And this dude comes with, I don't think it's accurate.
Yeah.
I think incriminating himself further, but
well, he sounds,
I'm sure the NBA wouldn't say that in terms of their investigation.
He definitely sounds like he's been given a company line, you know, and he doesn't seem to be sweating it much. So, you know, I think that's, you know, part of it. I mean, Pablo Torre is just not letting up. I mean, he is still getting after it with this story. And Mark Cuban's defending Ballmer and, you know, all these different things. So it's just amazing that I believe that was the exact number that they were over the cap or whatever. Like, $28 million was literally, like, the exact figure. Like, it wasn't even trying to really hide it. And it's a tree company, right? Isn't that?
Yeah, Aspiration.
It's a tree company. I mean, I know they make bank on them trees, cutting them trees, but they ain't making that much money.
And which Ballmer and his partner were pumping money into. And Kawhi was one of its biggest debts in terms of when we got the numbers on the payroll. So, it, you know, biggest creditor in that in the bankruptcy document was Kawhi.
Yeah, that's
now they Ballmer says he's been conned by a bunch of con men here. That's been his
right,
line
because they fired for they filed for Chapter 11 in March 2025.
And your organization, your NBA team, can hook you up with the outside companies, but they can't be a part of the deal of the negotiations. And that's where Ballmer claims, I don't know nothing about that deal between Kawhi and them. Sure, they read, you know, we have their patch and everything else. I introduced him to Aspiration.
Yep.
But I don't know his deal because we can't be involved in that. He's using that rule. I just there's too much here. You know, Pablo and those guys, the statements from the bankruptcy that Aspiration's filed, and the fact that you have Kawhi, who should clearly be able to say whether or not he performed services for them. Like, you're the guy and you went. Did you do it or not?
Right, yeah. I mean, it's he says he did, but like what, you know, whatever. I mean, it doesn't look good that the damn CEO was arrested or the co-founder was arrested for fraud, for felony fraud, and then you have this. But again, nothing's going to happen. Nothing ever happens.
Well, then you're inviting, if you're Adam Silver, the rest of the league to do similar deals.
No doubt.
And you are, if you don't come down hard on this, and hard isn't a fine for Ballmer, because he's got all the money in the world, mm-hmm. he'll pay a fine very happily. It's losing draft picks, or it's doing something with Kawhi in terms of his eligibility to play, his availability. You know, a suspension seems drastic again, but you have to come down in a way where you make it clear to other NBA teams, we're not playing along these lines.
Yep.
Otherwise, you're inviting it if you come down soft. So Silver's backed into a corner because this is his boy. And it sure seems like his guy Ballmer feels like, man, we're going to be fine, and that's the company line throughout the Clippers. Now, NBA loves us. We got into it done. I'm one of his favorites. And it feels like we felt that through Kawhi's comments and just this lack of accountability here, lack of, you know, personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, NBA's going to say they're going to have a hard time saying we didn't find anything. When you got Pablo Torre and now other news sources on this story,
yep.
and trying to, you know, pull more information out of it.
Yep, absolutely. But yeah, crazy.
Good luck with that.
Crazy day at Clippers Media Day yesterday. Chris Paul was there too, and I don't know if I've ever seen a player look more washed than Chris Paul looked yesterday.
He looked washed.
He's bald now completely.
Well, we had to go. Yeah.
And he's got the T-shirt under the jersey. You know, it's just like, come on, bro. Like it's time. It's time, right? I mean, how long has this man been in the league? For like 20 years?
Yeah. So I don't know how long right off the top of my head, but it seems around to be two decades.
He's been in the league for 20 years. Good 2005. Call. I mean, look, credit to him. He's still finding a way to like be a productive member of an NBA team. But it's like,
no, I wonder if it's the NBA not letting go of him. It kind of needs to.
Yeah, maybe that's true. Maybe I guess
there's something there.
I mean,
the Clippers see something useful there in case guys go down. But he's In any kind of playoff spot or anything, you can't trust Chris Paul at this point.
This is the end. This is it. He's back with the Clippers.
Kind of hanging on. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, this is his 21st year.
I would never feel sorry for Chris Paul, as nasty as he's been at times.
Yeah.
As arrogant as he's been at times.
Never won a championship. I guess the closest he got was that Rockets year when they had the Warriors on the ropes there for Game 7. And then I think he had a hamstring injury.
Did Rondo spit on him? Or he spit on Rondo?
I don't remember who spit on who.
I think
there.
Rondo spit on. Rondo has long hated Chris Paul, yeah. I feel like, in my mind. You remember that incident?
I don't really.
I couldn't remember who spat, but one of them spat.
Yeah, I don't really remember that one.
Okay.
But
I guarantee you, Rondo spit at Chris Paul.
Okay, it was
2018.
Rondo. Well, he's an irritant.
Now, has Chris Paul spit?
I don't know if Chris Paul has done that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I think he's just the recipient.
I don't want to put that on him if he hasn't done it.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, Clippers, interesting franchise. I'm not sure where they're headed, really. Because you got Kawhi, you got, you know, Harden. What else, though? Like, what is it? Because, like, I felt like the Nuggets series kind of should have put that to bed, right? Like, you lost to the Nuggets in the first round. You had both the guys out there. Kawhi looked bad. You know, I mean, I think this idea of, you know, Kawhi is one of the best players in the world when healthy. I think those days are probably over.
For me, it was Harden once he gets to playoffs. He can fool you all season long. You can change. Okay, he's going to be a team guy. Whoa, look at the numbers. Great season. He's really a floor general now in the sense of, you know, making a team better, doing it, not just his system. And then he got to playoffs. He shut down.
Mm-hmm.
He was old James Harden again.
That's what happens every time.
And so, yeah, more so than Kawhi, who you're right, health and getting him there and what he can be once he's there is always a big concern. Harden shuts down playoff time. That's what happens.
Yeah, because didn't Kawhi have like a dreadful game seven?
Probably so. I remember he had a couple of throwback games, though, where we said, okay, this guy. And that I think, you know, probably we should have expected at some point a letdown.
Yeah.
You know, that he wasn't going to be that guy through an entire series. And that's why you had all the help around him.
Yeah.
Well, so you're not expecting him to have to do that through a whole series. But now their issues are age and health and always will be for while it's wrapped around those particular guys.
Yeah, so, game seven was Harden. He was 2 of 8 from the field, 1 of 4, minus 29. Although Kawhi had the worst plus minus at minus 33, but he was at least 6 of 13 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3. But I just remember in that game, like, Kawhi not looking like that guy anymore, right? Like, there was a point in time not that long ago where, like, game seven Kawhi would give you, like, 35 and lock your best player down and – that definitely did not happen against the Nuggets really at any point in that game seven. So, I don't know. I guess they're just going to play it out at this point in L.A. with those two. But I don't know. I'm not sure that they can really expect much.
Folks got older. Brought in, mentioned Chris Paul and then Brooke Lopez. He's 37.
Yeah. Where's Zubac now? Is he still there?
Oh, I don't think Zubac went anywhere, did he?
No, he's still there, yeah.
Thought they added something that we liked in place of Norman Powell, but am I making that up?
Dude, I don't know what they're doing. Okay. I really have no – Bradley Beal.
That's what it is, and it's not good.
They added Bradley Beal.
Norman had a career year last year. Should have been an all-star.
Yeah.
Remember LeBron should have stepped down and let him be one?
And where is he at now?
He was moved on from because of the contract, right? It was time for him to
re-up. He plays for the Heat.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, and then they brought in Bogdanović, but he hurt himself in Eurobasket, and he's not going to be ready for the start of the season. So I don't know, man. Clippers seem like a team that's ripe for coming. Oh, John Collins is the big – that was their big offseason move, bro.
That is what I was thinking about. And that's not – John Collins is not a winning player, but I suppose you put him around. But the problem with these winning players, quote-unquote winning players, is that they're all old.
Yes.
So John Collins doesn't get it over the.
Yeah,
over
the hump. I mean,
I got one for you. Who does Jordan Clarkson play for now?
Jordan Clarkson was with the Jazz.
Oh, good job on identifying the team he's been with. That's why I threw it at you, fool. A lot of people think he's still with the Jazz. This one's getting a lot of people this offseason. This one in particular. So that's why I threw it out there. We're not going to play again. It's just the Jordan Clarkson.
It's obviously a losing franchise.
No, it's just a team that you just. You can't picture Jordan Clarkson there yet, even though the information is out. He's a member of the team, but we've all had a hard time with our brains putting him there. I guess because he's been in Utah so long.
Is it the Pelicans?
No. Where is Jordan Clarkson, Brad? Do you have a stab?
I don't know, but I'm going to guess.
Take a guess. You could get it. You were down to 29 teams.
Is it the team we were just talking about, the Clippers?
So he'd be trying
give yourself an X. It is not the Clippers.
He'd be trying to look for the hits.
This one's getting everybody. Use it on all your friends.
Who does Jordan Clarkson play for now?
In your NBA conversations. Plays for the New York Knicks.
Wow.
Really?
I would have never known
that. Doesn't
that
blow your mind?
Yeah. It does. He took the precious spot.
I was educated yesterday on this, and it's getting everyone across the nation. It's leaving folks befuddled.
Is Precious still in New York?
No, he went to Miami.
Miami, that's right.
We're up on that one.
Yeah.
But folks have not. What is it? You got to update your priors. Isn't that your phrase? We have to do that on Jordan Clarkson, guys.
Man.
That's a good pickup for the Knicks, by the way.
Yeah,
who had
is.
No depth last year.
Yeah, you bring him off the bench. He's kind of the opposite of a Thibodeau player, but
he's instant offense.
But yeah, I mean, he's basically going to be. It's like him, Deuce McBride. You know what I mean?
Man, I like McBride.
Yeah, they're both kind of the same person. You know, they come off the bench and give you some offense. So
yeah, I don't know if you play them together because defensively. Yeah, and you know, right. Clarkson will put his dukes up.
Yeah, he'll put them up with them long ass socks, man.
He loves to put the dukes up.
You don't want to fight a dude in them long ass socks.
Just want to just got to prove to everybody he's hard.
Yeah. Don't forget
Tulsa.
Proud Tulsa Golden Hurricane.
Missouri and Tulsa, right?
And then, he went to Tulsa.
I loved him at Tulsa. He did everything.
Yeah.
I raved about him in a way that even the American was saying, what's wrong with this dude?
You were a big Jordan Clarkson
guy. Huge Jordan Clarkson guy. Dude, he was big. You know how we love, John, the rebounding guards?
Yeah.
He was that at Tulsa. I had my eye on him for a long time.
Yeah, well, he is now from Tulsa to New York, man.
That's right.
I mean, that is a hellacious.
Everybody play the Jordan Clarkson game. It's fun.
I mean, that is crazy. Was it a one-year deal?
I don't know. It had to be a one-year deal. Good question. You've stumped us again.
It has to be a one-year deal. Like, come prove it. He's 33 years old. But still averaging, 16 a game in the NBA.
Dude, Clarkson is useful off that bench as instant offense every time and has been for years.
But, yeah, I mean, the Knicks are just the latest team that.
Yeah,
that,
just the sign of the Knicks. I don't have his.
That will get tricked by Jordan Clarkson. Just like, to me, it's like he, like Jordan Poole. That's why I was thinking about the Pelicans.
Loser.
You know, like they're the same guy. Like, you know, they play no defense. They don't have any. They're not known as good teammates. They just score. Which there's a place for that in the NBA because you have to have, 15 guys or whatever. But
Trae Young.
You know, some would say he has won.
That one run.
Yeah. But I feel what you're saying.
Man, the man throws the ball at the referees.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Trae Young is a guy that is going to ultimately
be a winning player.
Yeah, he's not going to be known as a winner.
He's the one you point to say, don't be like.
Right.
That's the path he's on if he doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, get to win him pretty soon, but they've got that pick from the Pelicans. You know, they could Hawks could be something here in a minute.
He I will say he does have 4 All-Star appearances.
Because of the numbers.
Yeah.
He's flashy.
Yeah.
He's looking to upstage and be good in losses.
I got to get all my NBA updated, man. I got to figure out where everybody went. I got to do that for the season.
Again, we're doing pretty good, but Clarkson gets them all.
Yeah.
Just try it on somebody, you'll see.
Yeah. All right, I don't know if you saw this. This is very interesting. Ryan Zimmerfield addressed the end of the game against Florida Atlantic and why the score got out of hand. Of course, they were up 5 with 10 minutes left, but then they went on to score 31 in the fourth quarter and won the game by 29 points. They were up 15 with 4:54 left and again went on to score 2 more touchdowns after that. And Ryan Zimmerfield actually addressed this, and he said that they were not about padding the scoreboard, running the score up. He said, we were not trying to score more points at the end for any variety of reasons other than, listen, these personal fouls called on FAU are getting out of hand at that point. And credit to our guys, that's one of the things I didn't share post-game. It's easy to respond and to fight back. If an opponent says something or throws a punch, it's easy to retaliate. I was proud of our guys for saying, hey, we've got a lot more football ahead of us. I think there was like 3 straight personal foul calls on FAU. I wasn't really paying attention at that point, to be honest, because it was in hand.
No, I was getting nasty.
And so I wasn't really up on, the late developments in that game. But apparently, Sofield said, we for the safety of our own offense, we just had to get to the end zone instead of getting tackled. Are you buy or sell Ryan Silverfield's explanation for the 29-point win?
I don't know. Probably a little bit of both, too. Since they're doing it, let's send them a message. Run this thing up. What was that, 31-point fourth quarter?
Yes.
Right there, like you said. And I don't mind that because you're supposed to be the standard in the American. That's what John and I are hoping you're doing from now going forth because of your investment level. And if you've got, teams like FAU, bottom feeders, willing to, go to the links of whether it's trying to get you into something to get suspended, whatever else, no. You're not doing that to the class of the league. Let's send a message. And not just for now, for going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm cool with it either way. He wants to, phrase it, justify it, whatever. I'm fine with that. This football, you put your big boy pants on.
Right.
That's I as far as this is concerned, I didn't look at this. We didn't talk about this on Monday as you and I come in here and say, man, Ryan Silverfield ran up the score on those fools.
Yeah.
No, I didn't get that feeling at all.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, there are some cases where I think that's probably, but yeah, high school football. This is college football. It's big boy stuff, and in most cases, not. You take what you're served, and especially if you're trying to, you're hurting my guys. You're going,
right.
You're gouging eyeballs. No, man, we're running.
I kind of think it gives you a real window into Ryan Silverfield's approach to football, in that like he doesn't want to win by multiple scores. Like he just wants to win, by a touchdown and get the hell out of there. Like he feels because I didn't get the sense that the FAU coach had accused him of doing that. Maybe he did and I missed it, but I wasn't thinking that. I was like, this is just football. This is just like, they get the ball. They like FAU kept going for it on their own side of the field. And, like, Memphis took the ball at that yard line and, like, got touchdowns. Like, there was too much time left to be kneeling down.
Mm-hmm.
When you start every drive at the opponent's 34-yard line, it's going to happen.
Right.
So I don't really know why he felt that. You know, it seems like he's feeling self-conscious about it, but I don't think there's any need for that. Like, you know, you force a fumble on the kickoff. You get the ball at the 15. The way the Memphis didn't run the ball, like, could you have kneeled there with 155? Yes. That's the only one to me that feels remotely controversial. And they don't do that in college, you know? Like, these teams, for whatever reason, do not kneel under 2 minutes. I mean, I don't understand. They will still run that ball until, you know, the bitter end. So I don't really know why that is the case, but it seems to be the case. And Memphis football, you know, run it up and got out of there with a big win. But I don't think Silverfield needs to be you know, self-conscious in any way, shape, or form. So, anyway, that was Ryan Silverfield there.
What's the number this week against Tulsa?
21 is what it was.
Ryan Silverfield looks like, man, you've been covering this year.
But I told you on Monday, Right Angle Sports released Tulsa.
You just think that's a few too many points for a run-first offense, huh?
Yeah, I asked the head honcho. I'm like, hey, man, you know, why on earth are you fading Memphis? Like, Memphis is 5-0 against – there's only two teams in the country that are 5-0 and 5-0 against the spread. Memphis and Texas Tech. And Texas Tech has $1 billion running through their program. All right? But, yeah, he said the head honcho of Right Angle just said he felt like 21 was just too many. And it might be. Like, that three touchdowns? Come on. That's a lot. Tulsa is bad. Are they that bad?
Trey Lamb, they upset Oklahoma State 2 weeks ago.
Who's that?
Tulsa was the one that put the stake in
Trey Lamb is new coach.
Oklahoma State.
Gundy.
Oklahoma State. Yeah. That's correct.
Remember, that was the last straw for Gundy.
Yeah, that was Gundy's last straw at Oklahoma State, mind you.
Yeah.
Now, they just played Tulane, didn't they?
Yes. Yeah, they got beat at home by Tulane.
By a lot, right?
By a lot, yeah. But, I mean, you know, they're better than they were last year. They should lose by a couple of touchdowns. I don't know if three touchdowns.
Yeah, it's 20 and a half.
Wow, market, that's a lot of points.
Market-wide right now.
A lot of pride for the Golden Hurricane at stake here.
It's a Saturday night game in Memphis, 7 o'clock, and you think they're not going to cover 20 and a half? I mean, dude, Sutton Smith will have four touchdowns on them folks.
Got a decent little quarterback there at Tulsa returning.
The fact that Memphis can run the ball as well as they can, like, it just makes me – it makes me, like, never want to fade them, to be honest. Like, I don't – again, I don't bet because it's – I have integrity, but – I just feel like I would not be excited to fade this Memphis football team right now, especially against inferior competition.
Their defense is pretty crappy, though. They probably won't be able to stop Memphis. That's the problem. They're scored a lot of points on Tulsa.
Yeah, I guess Tulane only won by 17, so you're kind of but that's there. That's in Tulsa.
Yeah,
you know, like, I don't know. I kind of feel like they had their season by beating Oklahoma State, and the rest of this doesn't matter. You know what I mean? So. I don't know. We'll see.
Jonam's got him 11 of 14 in the American.
Yeah.
After that loss to Tulane, his power rankings. Jonah Dillon over the commercial appeal I'm reading from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not like we're feeling like this is an upstart Tulsa team, although I think that was more about Oklahoma State, the disarray they were in, as opposed to I think Brad's right. They're a little better, but not something that's going to be a threat. I wouldn't push against Ryan Cover. That Memphis. Braham's been good. Y'all, it's not just running. Like, dude's elite, and he's been one of the better receivers in the conference this year, bringing him over.
Agreed.
So, he could probably do some things in a game like this, too, maybe make it a little easier for you.
Yep. All right, you got one more. You want to take a break. We can take a break, come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Jason Fitz is going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about Memphis football, game day, lots more to come. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. So yesterday was the official start of Memphis basketball practice. The start of Memphis basketball's official practices. The NCAA now allows the program to practice 20 hours a week, which is a significant increase from 4 hours per week that's allotted through the summer and the early part of the fall semester. So getting into really the thick of things now over at the University of Memphis. Penny Hardaway said yesterday he expects to have a starting lineup set by the end of the week, Jason. We ain't got to wait for an exhibition. We got to wait for a game. Nothing.
Yeah.
He's going to know exactly who's starting by the end of this week.
Seemed a little early, considering your first exhibition is not until late October.
And it's a whole new team.
Mm-hmm.
So, he must have a clear idea.
That's what I drew also out of it, was that doesn't it kind of tell you that the, you know, he sees the cream There was something I thought, though, in terms of what we discussed with Parth Upadhyay from the Daily Memphian last Friday in his hit with us. How many guys is he going to play?
Yep.
That I thought was probably significant in terms of his answer.
Yeah, which is going back to 10 or 11.
Exactly. And I think it might have been Parth that asked him directly about that. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Because we had just discussed it on Friday, and we discussed it in the context that, man, it seems like when Penny plays more guys, goes that deep, I wonder if the roles are a little less defined. We know why he likes to do it, and he talked about it again for this story. I think he was out talking about his golf tournament is the reason he was had another availability. He talked about, I want to defensively, I want to play a lot of guys because I want to play defensively with energy, and if I'm playing a shorter rotation, well, I can't be as effective doing so. Get why he wants to do it. He always talks about the 40 minutes of hell that the Razorbacks used to do. That's the way he wants to go. What did we find out about that Kendrick Davis team? 8-9?
Yeah, it was like, yeah. I mean, it shortened over the course of the season. It was longer to start.
It just seems that, again, there may be an exception, but for the general rule for Penny has been the deeper that you go, you know, the less your team has done that season.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a better way to phrase that. Now, you know, there's a way to get done, his philosophy, and still have roles defined. Maybe since you've got them in there earlier, you've had them in there essentially all summer long, there is a way to get to that, you know, what that balance that he's looking for. But I would just, you know, we always go on history around here.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell you that, you know, ultimately seems like the good teams in the country boil it down by the time it's winning time. So
we'll see.
Maybe there's a way you can do both, John.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, he has a reason for it. He says he wants to, you know, be able to hound teams defensively and play fast offensively. But you know, everybody has a plan until, you know, they get hit in the face. I think that somebody said that once upon a time. I don't remember who said it. But somebody said it. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see if, you know, and we know Penny's going to react extreme. If he plays 10 or 11 and it doesn't work, he's going to cut it down to 7.
The problem with this strategy, or it could be one of the challenges, is a better way to put that, is that if this were flipped and you were playing your American schedule first, well, that'd be a good place to figure it out, right?
Yep.
Play the 11 guys. Hey, I think I got 11, 12 that can play for me. Let's see if we can do it against this slate of opponent because it's a lower tier. But that's not the case for Memphis. It's not the case for anybody, and in Memphis's case, that non-con is so critical to your seeding. We would use the example from last year. You go 10-3 against the fourth toughest schedule, and it's what gets you the 5 seed. So you have to be good from the get-go. Can you be good with an entirely new roster, trying to play 11 or 12, as opposed to a 6 or a 7 or an 8 that you've sort of, you know, you've kind of figured out through the summer, these are going to be my guys, because it sounds like at least with the starters he knows. That's what I'm concerned about. You got to be good from the get-go here. You're playing Purdue. You're playing all these, you know, top teams. Can you play that many guys that you don't know how they're going to react against this upper tier competition? You know, last year was not a deal where you played that many guys. It was sort of cut. It was a shorter rotation. In fact, you didn't have enough guards.
Right.
By the time the season had gotten done with you, injuries and everything else, you were short.
Yep.
So he's gone back the other way.
Yep.
It does feel like he's deeper than he has been, but whether that, you know, equals out equates to wins and high seeds to be determined.
Yeah, no, it's
because it hasn't previously.
You know, he did. He also mentioned a couple other things that he identifies Ashton as a scorer. One of the three, Sincere, Doug, and Ashton, were top three.
Okay.
Sorry, the lights just went out in here.
It's all right.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. We can do it in the dark. I don't care. You know, you and me.
That's how you like it, isn't it?
Yeah. No, that's how GP liked it. I don't ever think he liked it that dark, you know, but.
No, I just meant in the bedroom. Isn't that what you've told
us? Oh, yeah.
Lights
off.
I thought you'd be right at home. Bend the cove. Take me home, as Phil Collins would say.
That was to make love, though.
Into the cove and with the lights off.
Not to do the radio show, but.
You looked uncomfortable.
I was extremely uncomfortable, man. The lights were completely off.
Calm down. They're back.
Yeah, they're
fine.
Back. All right. You know, and I think that could be a good microcosm. There may be points in the season where the lights go out for Memphis basketball, but always trust that they will come back on. Stay together. You know what I mean? Because there will be challenges. I mean, it's just the schedule is the way it's set up.
Might take kind of carving it down to a shorter rotation to get the lights back on, but we will
see.
That's right. We will see.
Yeah, we will see.
And I would like to see a year where Penny can play 11 or 12 and be a 5 seed.
Yes.
Those things come together. But this makes the comment that we got earlier in the week last week about having, the second deepest team, second best team from top to bottom?
Yep.
Okay, we should have seen this coming.
Yep.
I think that's what we did on Friday when we asked Parth about it. Now we've got our answer from Penny's mouth.
We aren't under any kind of false pretenses here, okay? It doesn't have to be bad.
No, I mean, he's got a lot of dudes. This dude, the 6'8 guy from... Rio Grande.
Yeah, Hassan Abdul.
Yeah, he doesn't sound like he's going to be a starter, but sounds like he'll be a very useful player.
Yeah.
The kid from Temple doesn't sound like he's going to be a starter, Barry.
Yep.
But going to be a very useful player. There's just 7 or 8 right there. You know, these bigs that you brought over late, I don't know about them.
Right.
Now, Tariq, yes.
Yep.
Aaron, yes. But the two, you know, the other guys, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you look at it, maybe they can get to 10, 11. I don't know if they've got 12 deep. 13 deep.